One thing that mankind can never seem to avoid are tragedies. For tragedies are a reality in life. These tragedies may fall into the categories of natural disasters, and tragedies as a result of human actions. In both instances, there may be some kind of rational reason for such events, while in others we may not be able to satisfy our rational capacity to understand. In either case, there comes to mind the question of why did the event turn into a tragedy in which humankind had to suffer? The question why inevitably turns into the need to find and perhaps even project blame. The blame game finds us pointing the finger to each other. And if we can't rationally or irrationally do that, then ultimately we blame God. The blame game, no matter who the ultimate target is, becomes a no-win situation. This game does nothing to answer the needs of those who experience tragedy, or to help to try to avoid similar tragedies in the future. If we are predisposed to turn tragedy into personal gain or ego enhancement by saying, "I told you so," then there is nothing gained, but there is only a loss. If we are so predisposed as to remain in predetermined mindsets and not be willing to accept the fact that change may be necessary in order to avoid tragedies in the future, then what have we gained? When we come before God with our prayers for Him to intercede into human tragedies, what are we really looking for from Him? All of the pain, all of the anguish, and all of the blame and questions, all of the desire to avoid tragedies in the future seem to be ever present within us. Man-made tragedies invade our lives every day. Breaking news stories of these tragedies have almost become the norm, such as the shootings in the Fort Lauderdale airport. Needless to say, the horrifying stories out of Syria, as well as terrorism attacks around the world, have almost become expected. Reports of natural disasters of floods, tornadoes, drought, and fires. Fires like the two Baltimore house fires recently taking the lives of 10 children cause us to pause to ask the question, why? All this may even tempt us to play the blame game towards others and God. Or we may just become so hardened to the inevitability of such events that we see tragedies as just another news story. And so long as it doesn't directly affect us, we question nothing. To do the latter can be the most damaging of all responses. For without honest questioning, there can never be possible answers, which may have the possibility to avoid future disasters and tragedies. All this should bring us to the realization of who we are in the light of what we profess to believe. especially who we are in relationship to the message of God through Jesus. Does this Christianity have any bearing on us? Not only during times of tragedy, but throughout life? Or is it just a social amenity which fills the need of being a social creature? It was to this that Jesus directed his question to John's two disciples who were following him. What are you looking for? What in the world are you looking for? It is a question which hits to the very core of our lives, to the very core of who we are and to why we call ourselves Christians. What are you looking for in this Jesus? It is a question which could have had several responses from these two men. Were they looking for answers to the various nuances of interpreting the law of the Pharisees, in order to carry forth the law-centered religion? Or were they looking for some prestigious power and authority for themselves within the Jewish religious social order? Or were they being among the extreme nationalistic zealots seeking a role in a new Jewish nation? Or were they seekers of God's will in their lives? Or were they looking for some miracle worker to change the plight of mankind? Or were they just curiosity seekers, trying to find out why John, the one whom they had followed, said what he said about this Jesus? Look, here is the Lamb of God. This leads to the question of why in the world would John direct the attention of two of his disciples to Jesus? Why would he dare to lose the following that he had established? John clearly understood his role in the anointment of Jesus as the Son of God. He understood that he was to prepare the way for him and take a secondary position in the proclamation of God's message. That is why he directed his disciples towards Jesus. These disciples had to understand for themselves who this Jesus was, and Jesus in turn would help them to come to some personal conclusions which would determine their lives and how they would face life. Therefore, the two disciples did not shirk or fade away with Jesus' question. They returned a question with a question. Rabbi, where are you staying? This was a strong indication that the two men were not just after some quick answers. They wanted more than what could be discussed in passing. They were not seeking a momentary acquaintance with him, but wanted to spend time with him in order to find out why John saw some special revelation through him. They were seeking answers to their lives, which John was not able to give them, for he was not the Word. He could only lead them to the fulfilled message of God's revelation, the Word. John had led them to Jesus, and now they wanted more in their life, which they hoped would come through time spent with this man who John called the Lamb of God. Now, Jesus didn't ignore their request, but thou told them to come along with him to see where he was staying. Evidently, during the rest of that day, Jesus and the two men talked. They began to understand that Jesus had a message. had a life which would answer the life's questions of what they were looking for. Questions and answers to the tragedies of life. They must have seen the clear difference between God's message of love and forgiveness and that of legalism, ritual, and a revengeful God. They must have received enough of a glimpse into Jesus' message that they knew that he represented a new kind of hope, a new kind of freedom. They perhaps even saw a totally new kind of life for themselves. Andrew, one of the two men, was so impressed with this Jesus that he told his brother Simon about him. Simon, Simon, we have found the Messiah, the Anointed. He then brought Simon to Jesus, and the rest is history. For Jesus immediately saw the potential in Simon and renamed him Cephas, Peter. These early disciples of Jesus did not initially realize the new kind of kingdom which this Messiah was to establish, but they knew that he was a very special messenger of God, a teacher of a new kind of meaning and understanding of life. Therefore, they remained with Jesus, becoming the core of his disciples. During this time, they continually found answers to Jesus' question, what are you looking for? Through thick and thin, they gradually realized that what they originally were looking for in Jesus was maybe changing. Ultimately, they discovered that what they were really seeking could not be found in the worldly pursuits which were filled with tragedy and man-made disasters. They would discover that even the cruelest works of mankind, the death of God's Son on the cross, would lead them to understand the truth about God's love and the meaning of good news as found in Jesus. It is this message which conquers all of the tragedies that mankind or nature can create. It is living this message of the good news which can overcome the illnesses that mankind creates and the tragedies which burden troubled souls. In many instances, we as a society do not want to hear the cries of troubled souls. We hesitate to ask the question, what are you looking for? We walk by on the other side of the road hoping that someone will take the time to ask the question, listen to the answer, and then search ways to find resolutions to the answers. Often the problem lies in the fact of how we treat each other. The resolution is found in how we answer for ourselves Jesus' question. What are you looking for? Are we looking for the reality of living God's love and forgiveness in our lives? If you live that, oftentimes this overcomes the tragedies of life. Or are we just looking for ways to enhance our own pride and ego and self-pursuits of fulfilling misconceived societal traditions and expectations? This can only lead to unanswered questions of why, while leading us to the dead-end street of the blame game. You know, every day that we have the privilege to live Should another day which tries to answer the question, what are you looking for? We have that privilege every day to try to answer that question. What are you looking for? Likewise, every day we should live the resounding answer. I am looking for the strength. I am looking for the capacity to live God's love among all my fellow human beings within this gift of God's creation. In that way, the needs of those who cry out in desperation and suffering from the tragedies in life may be answered, and life for them may begin to find peace, comfort, hope, and fulfillment. Or we may not change the tragedies in life, but we can be that answer of God's love in extending peace, comfort, hope, and fulfillment in life. What are you looking for? To be that answer. Amen.